G'day everyone, and welcome to the crossover, the weekly, whenever we want to do it, Friday night, late night edition with Insight NBA, our good friends at NBA Fantasy Basketball International, and special guests from Western Australia, our good friend at NBA Fantasy Bible, D-Mac. How is everyone doing?
Doing really well, Matty. Kingy, good to see you as well.
Yeah, I'm awake.
How are you recovering? When did you tap in the second half of that live that I woke up at 4:45 to jump on this morning? D-Mac, you were on too. But you live in Western Australia, so we don't care about you because it was still yesterday for you when you were jumping.
Mate, I was just thinking about how hard it was for me, and I was just going to look for some sympathy. But yeah, go ahead, guys.
Don't. We were already talking about vasectomies off air earlier, so we're not going to get any sympathy going on in this chat room tonight. Mate, how was your trade deadline experience, Kingy?
Yeah, it was good. It was probably today was a little underwhelming, but we could probably almost see that coming given how big the last couple of days have been. So thankfully we got a few trades, nothing significant. Would have liked a Vucevic trade or the Brooklyn Nets to do anything or the Utah Jazz to do anything. Didn't happen. But no, it was good. It was good. It was, my voice was pretty shot by the end of – this is my fifth show today, so
– subtle flex?
Well, no, the flex is that I need to go to bed. But I've got my mango and pineapple seltzer. it was on sale. It was $10 for four. I went, I'll have two of those.
That's a bargain.
So that's what I'm having. That's keeping me going for the next.
What have you got there, D-Mac? I saw you reach down for a quick second. Have you got a beer just underneath the table?
I don't. I'm saving myself for date night tomorrow night, but no, very, very boring. Not sure how you pronounce this one.
Very boring. What's on the cards for date night? Is it as exciting as our trade deadline earlier this week?
Probably more exciting than it was for the hours leading up to trade deadline this morning, but not as exciting as the Luka and AD trade and all that sort of stuff. I'm hoping it will be more exciting, but hey, I'll keep that under wraps.
So, or out of wraps is probably what she might prefer. Look, let's talk about it this way. We have had a very exciting week. A week ago almost, I was standing in the JD Sports store. I was like, no one wants to hear what happened when you discovered this. And I'm like, actually, I do, because it's a landmark trade. I think people are still watching Luka on the bench today at the Lakers game. They're still scratching their head a little bit. Like, that's happening. That's real. Yeah. Immediate thoughts. We're going to go through pretty much every trade over the course of this past week. I brought it up here. We're going to actually go back all the way down to the Clippers ones over last week. We're going to talk winners and losers for every single trade, because people may have swooped already. People may have been waiting to hear out. For example, one of my big winners, and Kingy, I know I said this to you, D-Mac, I don't know if I said this to you, I really like Max Christie's fit in Dallas. I don't see when AD returns to the court, it taking away anything from him. I think it's a better fit possibly than Exum, because Exum's been out for a while. He's been eased back into the lineup. Today, Max Christie, 29 minutes, 15 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. He got a cheeky block in there, 46%. He didn't make any of his threes. And one more of those drops, all of a sudden you're looking at a 16-5-4 guy off the bench. And I think Max Christie was a really big winner. So we'll come to that one. It started with the Clippers Jazz here. Any impacts, winners or losers, from the Clippers trade to the Jazz, which saw Drew Eubanks, Patty Mills end up with the Clips, the Jazz moving on to get Mo Bamba and PJ Tucker, and there's cast considerations. Anyone see anything there? Winners, losers for fantasy?
In a 12-teamer, nothing for me. I'm not interested at all. In real life, I do like Drew Eubanks. He's a really nice backup center, but nothing for 12-teamers, and that's probably what most people are watching us for right now.
Yep. Key?
Yeah, I agree. I think a few people speculated that Mo Bamba was a winner here, potentially coming into Utah, but I think I sort of laid that to rest straight away and said, I think he's going to be bought out or waived or something, and he was three hours later. So, look, Eubanks, yes, real life, he gives them a nice solid backup center, but nothing for fantasy. And PJ Tucker, I think he's still flying around in his plane, isn't he, waiting to find a landing spot?
He is. And shout out to my good friend Nathan Hand tuning in from Singapore. Phoenix did sweet FA. They did, because I'd love to hear a Phoenix fan. Do you really want to see Kevin Durant go? Or did you really want to see Jimmy Butler come into that situation? I'm not sure that's something that we wanted to be hanging around with. The next big one, and this is what started the arms race, the dominoes. On February 2nd, Luka Kleber and Markieff Morris off to the Lakers. The Mavs receiving AD, Max Christie, Utah Jazz getting in the mix. They just dibbled their finger in everything the Utah Jazz this trade deadline to acquire things. Picking up Jalen Hood-Schifino and these picks. Look, let's talk the big guns first. AD, top five player-ish on the season. Do we see him moving outside the top 10 with this trade, or do we see consolidated value? D-Mac, we'll start with you.
Yeah, we'll go the latter. I think he consolidates that value, and if anything, he could just be the go-to guy now. I know you've still got Kyrie on that team, but, man, this is really enticing, and I love it. I love the fit for the Mavs. I don't like the trade at all, but in terms of fantasy, it's fantastic for AD.
You, Kingy?
Yeah, I don't really see a shift for Anthony Davis at all. They've already come out and said he's playing power forward, so he wanted to play center. That doesn't appear to be happening. So no, he'll still be top five. I actually think, I'm hoping that, because I mean, to me, I think not a downside or not a negative for Anthony Davis, but he's never been, in my eyes, an overly aggressive player. He's been passive at times, offensively especially. I'm hoping that he is just pissed off and annoyed and wants to, not with Dallas, but just with everything that happened. And he feels like he has something to prove now, because the whole narrative around this trade has been that, why would you give up Anthony Davis to get Luka? And framing it as though Luka is this superstar, which he is. He is, to be fair, but that he is significantly better than Anthony Davis. So I'm hoping that we see sort of an energized and aggressive Anthony Davis here, which can only...
These are all oxymoronic words you're using. You know that, right?
I do.
The fact that when he came out for me, the big tell for me with Anthony Davis was that he sat down straight away and he was like, nah, look, man, it's a business. And then he waived that trade kicker as well. It's like, that's fine. I've got an extra $6 million in the bank, so I'm happy to leave that around. And I want to say this. I think a loser here is somebody who I'm really thankful that's a loser. And I'm going to call out a move that I made, and I'm calling it my great gaffed gaff of this season. We all know, if we've been paying attention in fantasy basketball, that Daniel Gafford has in many ways been probably a drop drop there for a while, especially when Lively was healthy. I dropped him in a league, and I absolutely am calling myself out for it. Now, I dropped him. There he is. This is my own personal league, and you can see that he's gone down rostering in some. The guy, Nathan Hand, who's watching, I know that I'm in a league with him. This is in the league that we're in. And you can see that here he has gone down in some of his rosterability the last few days. But for me, he's gone down that 1%. But if you look at his history here for me, I drafted him here in the 85th. I wanted that. I've got Wembanyama. He was giving it there. I dropped him on the 14th. I think it was the next day that Lively went down during the game, and I could not reclaim him on waivers. And so that just killed me. So I think he loses out a little bit. Do we see any other losers, fringe benefits here for anyone on the Dallas Mavericks, apart from maybe Gafford? Because I think he falls down in the rotation when Lively eventually returns, which may not be immediately.
D-Mac, I think we've got several weeks until Lively's back, so I think Gafford can still retain some value. He's still a 12-teamer. By no means is he a drop. And if anything, there could be some days that AD does just maybe... perhaps rest. I just don't think they will rest him just because the Mavs are going to push hard. But Gafford, I still think, is a 12-team must-roster guy right now. Mm. The blocks are going to drop. He's not going to be that top 10 guy like he was in the lead-up to AD being that absolute beast. And we saw a glimpse of this even when he was at the Bulls, but not to this degree. Top 10 guy was just insane.
Yeah. King?
Yeah, much the same. Gafford, he'll take a hit, but he's not a drop. He's still a guy we want to roster. PJ Washington probably takes a small hit here, I think. shifting down to the small forward position. So just his rebounds might come down a little bit. He's had some double-digit rebound games in the last little bit. Again, I think he's a rosterable player, but I do think he takes a bit of a hit with Anthony Davis coming in. Because not only is he another big man, but he's a very good on both ends of the court big man. So he's very good defensively. He's very good on offense. So, yeah, a little bit off the top for PJ, but still someone we need to hold on to quite clearly.
And PJ at the three, do you see that happening and having much success with PJ there?
I see it happening because I'm pretty sure they came out today and said they're doing it. So, yeah, look, it's interesting. I could see it. I could see them doing it, but I could see them going away from it as well if it's not working. Yep. He isn't like a typical wing player, so I'm not sure whether teams will take advantage of that, certain matchups. But again, I mean, they've been playing Klay Thompson there, so is he any better? Probably not. So, I think they will do it, and we'll see how it goes. And I'm assuming Klay Thompson will just shift down and play the two. I don't think they're going to bring Klay Thompson off the bench as much as we think maybe they should. I think it'll be him. And then I think Dante Exum, who, you mentioned him, he's played well in the last few games. Yeah. He will just drop back to a sort of 15-minute role, and Max Christie will be that sixth man, I think, both he and Spencer Dinwiddie off the bench.
Yeah, I agree there. I think the next big trade that we had saw was the one that we all saw coming, and it was another three-teamer, De'Aaron Fox, winding his way into the San Antonio Spurs to join Victor Wembanyama. The Kings, Sacramento, got Zach LaVine, and the Bulls, Zach Collins, Kevin Huerter, and Trey Jones, who just can't buy a vowel. Poor bloke, just get buried under Chris Paul and bench rolls and Jeremy Sohan last year. Like, no, Trey, just that's okay. Jeremy's going to run point guard this year. It's fine. Don't worry about it. And now he ends up on the Chicago point guards lineup here. Immediate thoughts on, like, geez, they can literally roll out. You know what? We're going to play really small ball, and Lonzo can play seven just for shits and giggles.
Just slow passes to each other. No one's scoring. Everyone's passing.
I just can't wait to like see Dan Titus like react to my messages on like DMs on like Twitter. Be like, hey man, I think you're going to have to make Ayo Dosunmu power forward eligible. Shaking his head at me on this one. Like, he's like, because this is what we're looking at very soon, and this is what I was very curious to see the Vooch trade. DMAC, liked the trade, didn't like the trade. Fantasy wise, did anything stand out for you as a grab or fringy out?
Before we get to fantasy, I think it's fantastic for the Spurs. And I remember going on your show, Maddie, early days preseason going.
I've got you tagged ready for this. You expect them to make the play-in.
I said playoffs. So I went one further and I said playoffs. Yep. So I went pretty aggressively. Now they're a little bit off the pace, but I think this trade really helps them. Really excited to see that. That's real life. From a fantasy perspective, it'll be interesting to see how Malik Monk goes. I know there's been two games. He's played at the one. He's played at point guard. I don't know. Are you guys thinking he's a true point guard? Can he play that role long term?
Well, they lost to the Portland Trailblazers today with him giving it a red hot go. Kingy, you did the post game show today. What was your thoughts on the experience?
They're obviously going to give him a crack at playing point guard. I don't think he is a true point guard. I think he's had very good assist numbers, but that doesn't mean you're a point guard. There's a difference to getting assists and running an offense. So I think he's sort of the solution at the moment. Is that going to work long term? Well, as you said, they lost to Portland, but Portland are the hottest team in the NBA right now. So losing to Portland is not a bad thing, apparently. I'm not sure. Because they don't really have anyone else. Keon Ellis is obviously there, but he's not a point guard either. So I think they'll just run with Monk. It hasn't really solved the issue that they had in terms of lack of defense. In fact, they probably got worse with Zach LaVine coming in. And to me, the losers, I suppose, if we want to talk winners and losers, here in Sacramento, it's probably more about losing than winning. And it's Keon Ellis, who was a stash or was seen as a potential stash. And we saw today he played 23 minutes, I think. He had two steals, 35. But that's all he is now, a steals streamer, I think.
Yeah.
And Keegan Murray, I think he's a bit of a loser here as well, just because I think at best he is fourth option on offense behind.
See, I also don't mind that for Keegan. I don't mind that for Keegan. I think it is taking a hit points-wise for him, but I would hope that his efficiency, because I think there's going to be a bit more space created if Malik Monk has to work and attack as the point guard. So they do need him to step up today. I was happy to see him get 10 shots here, but you're right, though, the fourth man on the team. 20 for Monk, 19 for Zach LaVine, 16 for DeRozan, then 10 for Keegan Murray. But again, this is what we expect, and we expect that the threes probably to click up to 5 or 6 a game potentially for him. But I think you're bang on the money here. The big loser immediately was Keon Ellis, and everyone's breath went out. I want to stick with them for a second because I want your thoughts on this, King. Another loser from this has to be the fringy 12-14 for back-to-back sets, Trey Lyles. That's done because Jonas Valanciunas was also part of a trade where he wound up today. He played today for Sacramento, 17 minutes, 6 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. Valanciunas is probably looking at waiver wire for us this season, correct? People are going to use this guy and toss him back in the pond, Kingy. Do you see this happening?
I think so. He's going to be in the rotation, but he said he played 17 minutes today. Sabonis fouled out. So Sabonis only played about 29 minutes or something, only took 6 shots from memory. And so we know that Sacramento like to play their starters. So most nights Sabonis is going to play 35, 36, which only leaves 12 for Valanciunas because it's going to be pretty hard to play them alongside each other. I do think Valanciunas is probably just going to be someone that's sitting on waiver wires. And if you need they have a back-to-back and you need some rebounds or something, you'll grab him and hope that you maybe get 15 boards across 2 games.
Yeah, 100%. D-Max, similar territory for you now?
Yeah, 100%. Valanciunas is definitely a drop. However, cast your mind back to when Sabonis was playing for Indiana. Obviously, Kingy, you're aware of this, being a good Pacers fan. He played alongside of Miles Turner. And I'm not saying Miles Turner is the same as Valanciunas, but if they did want to go big and Keegan Murray does get into foul trouble on occasion, perhaps they play the Twin Towers. But I'm not holding on to Jonas Valanciunas just for the opportunity that may happen, the 1% chance. But disappointing for Valanciunas because he was cooking while Alex Saar was injured for the Wizards as well.
Yeah, just doing what Val does, double-doubles here and there, good percentages, get you a block here and there, but he's not really a defensive rim protector. He's always been one of those big bodies, gets the boards, puts it back in the hole, and then passes the ball out. Can get you some fringy assists on pretty decent percentages. Other trades, we've had some pick swaps go through here. The Mavs land Martin from the 76ers. So Caleb Martin with the Dallas Mavericks. Quentin Grimes go to the 76ers. We get to see these guys unleashed. I think this is where, for me, I start to see a couple more losers. My first take on this one, if Quentin Grimes is coming into this, it's either going to be him that loses out or Julian Edwards, for me, is that other fringy guy who I think is going to take a bit of a hit. Guys like Eric Gordon, even Bona and Reggie Jackson, the free-for-all on our waiver wire for Philadelphia, we're just getting more just jacked in there for me. And I don't think that's going to really move my dial, but it definitely is going to be a consideration on my waiver wire targets. How are you approaching streaming the 76ers?
It's pretty tough at the moment because we don't actually know what they're trying to do. We don't know if they're trying to push back into the play-in playoff scenario, or are they just of the opinion we're done for the season? Let's develop Edwards, let's develop Grimes. So I think until we get some clarity on that, it's tough to know. But I mean, in my eyes, I think Grimes should probably be their sixth man. He's better than Gordon, he's better than Lowry, he's better than Council, he's better than whoever else they've got rolling around there.
So Jeremiah Robinson Earl minutes attractive to you? Anybody? Can I send you some Jeremiah Robinson Earl stock?
Their roster is just ugly. So I think Grimes could have a role, but I'm not sure about it at this stage.
Yeah, what about you, D-Mac?
I really like Quinton Grimes, and we saw what he was doing at the Mavs just when Kyrie and Luka were out. He was developing a really nice fantasy game. He wasn't a must-roster guy, but he was a fantastic streamer. So for the Mavs to actually trade him away from a real-life perspective, I think is mind-boggling as well. So it sort of goes with the theme of what the Mavs were trying to do in that trade period. Caleb Martin as well. There were talks that they could have avoided this trade just because of the issues with Caleb Martin's health. It looks like he will be coming back in the next 2 to 3 weeks. But it was an interesting trade nonetheless, and I just don't know what the Mavs were doing. And I have a good mate at work who's a massive Mavs fan, and it was just disaster after disaster. Obviously, nothing getting worse.
Did he have to take stress leave for the rest of this week? Was he away?
Depending on if he's watching, he actually did take the following day off as soon as it happened. But anyway, we'll keep that to ourselves. Hopefully no one from work is watching. Yeah. He was pretty shattered.
I know a lot of Mavericks fans who are just – two things happened because of that Luka trade. Mavericks fans died. Like their hearts – they literally looked online at the potential of buying Lakers jerseys, which is crazy because they love Luka so much. Like, it's okay, I'll still wear a Luka jersey even though I support the Mavericks. It's like, even if it's purple and gold. And NBA card stock, for those who are in the NBA collector cards, the prices on Luka cards soared. Autograph, one of ones, rookie cards for Luka. If you were to track the graph of them, they were the hottest thing in the market. Not fantasy related, but you might have to be a fantasy to get your hands on a Luka rookie card right about now. If you've got one, just put it in the chat. We'd love to hear which one you have, because I looked around at some one from ones. Interesting enough, our next one here, Tice traded to OKC. And now the Thunder were picking up Daniel Tice here, and the Pelicans got cash. This is where Matt Kovic has been the big ad of the week for a lot of players. This has been one, Kingy, I see you nodding straight away. Again, last game, 10 points, 9 rebounds, assist, steal, 2 blocks. Misi fading a little bit. Mark Kovic up. Trey Murphy, obviously one of the best players in fantasy. Pelicans stock-wise, this is good.
It is, yeah. Actually, I when I did my recap show earlier today, I talked about two teams specifically that, and Philly maybe fall into this a little bit, but two teams specifically that I'd like to get some direction and clarity on things before we go sort of proclaiming winners and losers. The Pelicans are one and the Wizards are the other one. So I think for the Pelicans here, yes, Matkovic has been a pretty popular ad. He's looked good. But where do Bruce Brown and Kelly Olynyk fit? That's what I want to know. Are they going to play 25 minutes, or are they just not going to be in the rotation? Because that will impact Matkovic. It will impact Misi, Alvarado, Jordan Hawkins. Yep. It's going to have a flow-on effect. And likewise in Washington, Chris Middleton, Marcus Smart, where the hell do they fit in to that Washington rotation? So I still like Matkovic, though. I think he is worth picking up. And, I mean, dream scenario, Kelly Olynyk somehow plays 30 minutes a night for the Pelicans. I would be on cloud 9 if that happened. It's not going to, but, man, what a world that would be in if that happened.
King, I'm glad you brought that up just because I was looking at the roster. If the Pelicans were contenders, you would think that he would be, Kelly Olynyk, that is, would be the better fit next to Zion. But because they are struggling, I don't think they're going to demote Yves Misi.
No. And that's why I'm not, because they've got, I think, have they got the second worst record? They're right down there. They're in the bottom three. I know that.
Allow me to look at how much they suck for you, Kingy, because we did this, I think we did this breakdown this morning, that there were teams, it hasn't updated as of today, so we might be looking at a different shakeup. Yeah, they are now. They're bottom 12. So them, Utah.
And Washington.
And Charlotte are all the 12 gamers right now. So these are the teams that are all in that bracket. Washington sucks the most with the bullet, 9-41 right now. So they've won the last three, which is crazy to think of. That's the strangest bloody thing about this Wizards record to me. I look at it and it's lit up like Christmas at the end three, That means until a week and a bit ago, they were only on 6 wins for the year so far. Like, dreadfully, dreadfully bad.
Yeah.
But then somehow decided, oh, we should win some games. We still suck. We've still got the worst record in the NBA.
Yeah.
We are Washington. But the rest are on 12. So I can see that one working out. We've got here the Wizards again. They've got Reggie Jackson, Marcus Smart, Chris Middleton in this team. Jordan Poole, I hate to say it, and I said this at the beginning of the year, they look somewhat, are they competent? Is this a competent-looking basketball team in a way? If you were to look at the paper and, like, do you like, oh, those guys can play? Or they're just going to be perpetually broken until the end of the season? Is there anything to take out of this, D-Mac?
I think it's a similar situation to the Pelicans. If they were a contending team, you would think they're going to be pushing for a lot of wins, but...
Yeah.
Is Malcolm Brogdon going to play a lot? Is Chris Middleton going to play a lot? I think Middleton's a fantastic roto play. In terms of head-to-head, I think there's going to be some frustration. So I think he's a hold or even a pickup at this stage, and let's see where it goes. But I do expect you to be quite disappointed and frustrated with some missed games.
Frustrated and disappointed like Marcus Smart for now being on a couple of different teams in the last couple of years while his heart won an NBA championship last year, can you?
Yeah, when that trade went through today, I felt a bit sorry for him. I mean, he's really been a fall from grace. He was a key piece on a Celtics team that almost won. He left and went to a Grizzlies team that were on the way up. Boston won after he left. Grizzlies had the most injury-prone season of all time. Then this year he's been injured, and now he's playing for Washington, who are the worst team in the NBA.
It's funny, a couple of seasons ago, people were saying he's Boston Celtics people, he's our spiritual leader, most important player on the team because of his spiritual leadership. Leader. And there we go.
Now he's a bench warmer in Washington. So,
Hold it. Yeah, Defensive player of the year. Defensive player of the year. Three seasons ago, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah, 3 or 4. What show was I listening to? I think I was listening to... probably the RotoWire show. I think it was Brandon Kravitz, and he had a special guest on. I can't think what his name was, but they were talking about the fact that Marcus Smart has a Defensive Player of the Year award and Anthony Davis doesn't. And Anthony Davis is one of the best defensive players of the last decade. He has none. Rudy Gobert has 4 somehow, and Marcus Smart has 1. It's just such a weird award. But anyway... yeah,
that was the year they didn't want to give it to Rudy Gobert.
It might have been, I don't remember, but yes, it probably was.
Was that COVID year where he's touched the microphone?
Yeah, it was just like, let's just not give it to Rudy. We can't give it to Rudy.
Touch the microphone. That's right. See,
that's a deep
video.
Cut,
that's burned into our brains, isn't it? Of Rudy Gobert touching that microphone.
Jeez, bloody hell! No one likes him. Pacers steal Wiseman to the Raptors. This was interesting because I want to get Kayla Fonte's take on this one. Is she a Chris Boucher fan? Is she not a Chris Boucher fan? That was the name that was bandied about. I picked the lotto saying Bruce Brown was out of there. That came true. I didn't see them acquiring James Wiseman. Do we think that's anything to look at? Because we know that they roll out Boucher. Then they actually were saying he was on the block. So that was widely open that they want him gone. Do we see
Wiseman's been waived as well?
Has he been waived officially now?
I think so. I'd have to check, but I need to confirm that.
The Pistons are landing KJ Martin. They're already stacked. Nothing there. The Suns, let's touch on this one because this was the one that we were waiting for all morning because we had to wait for something because nothing was bloody going on. And then I think it was Mike Barnard from Roto World jumped on Kingy when you, I, and Dan Besbris were all there and twiddling our thumbs. And then this dropped. Winners and losers straight away. Cody Martin on the Suns. Vasily Micic goes to the Suns as well as a backup point guard. Does this hurt Ty? My question is for losers. Tyus Jones, who is in a massive funk right now, does this hurt Tyus more that we see less Tyus Jones minutes? What do we think here?
I think it's trending down anyway, guys.
Yeah, I don't. I think I've had him as a drop for about 3 weeks now. Does it hurt him? I don't think so. I mean, Micic is pretty bad. He was pretty bad. He was starting and playing 30 plus minutes in Charlotte and wasn't even a must roster player. So going to Phoenix, where he has to share the ball with Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, it's a lot. There's a lot more talent there than he had in Charlotte. So I don't think it really hurts Tyus Jones, but as we said, he wasn't a must roster player in my eyes anyway.
Yeah, agreed. Also interesting, both the Martin brothers moved in the trade deadline. Funnily enough, anyone else pick this up? A big reaction, obviously, around the NBA to the Nurk news, a Nurk alert, one would say, DMAC. Is he the biggest fantasy winner this NBA trade season?
The answer is, I don't think so. We heard, or I've heard, that Musa Diabate will start at center, and I think it makes sense for the struggling Charlotte Hornets. They're not going to play Yusuf Nurkic huge minutes down the stretch. I think it makes sense to put some minutes into their younger team. So Diabate, from all accounts, will be starting at center.
Can you? What's your thoughts here?
Yeah, much the same. I think because we were talking about Diabate on the show this morning, and I think you said that you'd spent $150 or something.
Yep. I had a whole bunch of cash in our league, and I was like, you know what? No one else is getting Moose but me.
Yep. So you got him, and then the trade happened just after you said that you'd spent all that money. And then
we talked about
Nurkic as being the winner, and he's going to start, and is this going to rejuvenate his career and that sort of thing. And then, as DMAC said, word came out a little later that Diabate will be starting. So I think Nurkic, well, he's a winner because he'll play. So he is a winner because he wasn't even in the rotation. Correct. I don't think they will play Diabate 32 minutes or 33 minutes. I think it'll be like 28-20. And in 20 minutes, Nurkic could be back end kind of like a Valanciunas, pretty much. Points, rebounds, sort of fumble his way into a defensive stat here or there. But Diabate, I think, for me, is still the priority that you want to have there. He's pretty limited in terms of what he does. But very good rebounder, offensive rebounder. He's elite. Defensively, he's serviceable. And look, the more he plays, the more that offense will come around. It's very rough at the moment. But if the coaches just say to him, look, you're our starter, you're playing 28 minutes for the rest of the season, he will go out there and have the confidence to actually look for some baskets and get involved in the offense. Whenever we've seen him in the past, he's just a throw-in. You're playing center tonight. Yep. He's not part of the offense at all. They're not looking for him. So I do think that his offense should improve, assuming that they just hand him that starting role and don't renege. And after 2 weeks, say, okay, we're actually going to go with Nurkic. So I'm hoping for Diabate's sake that they stick with him.
I'm hoping on for my fantasy stake
and
because it's the industry pickup league. So it's like, it's an important league.
In our industry pickup league, the auction league, I had Diabate. I picked him up like 2 weeks ago a week ago when Mark Williams missed the two games in a row.
I picked him up and then dropped him after that. I couldn't get him back.
Yeah, so I picked up Diabate and then talked on my show, you can go and drop him now because Mark Williams is healthy. And I forgot to drop him, so I still have him on my roster. So I'm pretty happy that I actually forgot to drop him.
See, great old man move. Oh, I forgot to drop him. Oh, great. Absolutely fantastic.
Very good old man move.
And look, because Nate is in here and he's my best mate and he lives in Singapore, shut up and stop spamming chat hand. Hashtag Aussie Suns fans podcast for all those who do want to check up on what the Phoenix Suns are doing. My good friend Nathan, he jumps on that podcast a lot. A lot of good Suns chat for all our Phoenix Suns fans in here. And I love this one here. Nobody's losing sleep over him in Suns land. And I hate that they benched Nurk. It was a very divisive trade. And rumors coming out today that it's been really and this was after I spoke about it this morning, Kingy, where I said, I think there's just something going on in Phoenix. It doesn't feel right. Ishbia comes in. They start throwing out the bag. Bradley Beal has dug his heels in and been like, I like the fucking weather here, dude. I'm not going anywhere. I've got no trade clause, bro. Like, I'm not going. Let me just call my accountant. $50 million. Yep. No, I'm going to stay right here. Thank you very much. Like, it's just a no-brainer. Good choice, Bradley.
Good choice.
Yeah. Hey, let's just, you know what we'll do? We'll put him off the bench, and that'll really piss him off. Bradley picks up the phone again. Hey, how much am I earning if I play less minutes and just do my job? Oh, the same amount of money to do less. No, I'll stay. Thank you very much.
Those negotiations, that contract negotiations really handcuffed them trying to get Jimmy Butler. So that's obviously fallen through. And then talkers possibly trading away Kevin Durant to get Jimmy Butler. That was pretty crazy talk as well.
I thought that was insane talk. Like, I would not get rid of KD. I think he set it up here before. By the way, will I pick up Nurkic or Christie? Look, I'm picking up Christie. I think Nurk, especially initially, the reaction was when Nurk's coming, he's going to start. We know that they've only got 30 more games left. I think I took a generous 8 Kingy off this morning. I said we could probably expect him to play 8 less than that, potentially, was, I think, my takeaway. So was happy to do that. Then the news, thank you, DMAC, is that Musa Diabate will start at the center spot for the Charlotte Hornets. So they're going to give the young fella some run. So for me on that question, Trevor, I'm picking up Christy. Kingy, DMAC, how do you feel about that one?
I'm with you, Christy.
Yeah, I'll go Christy. I mean, it is a little bit stat dependent. Like, if you need rebounds, you're not going to get Christy. But generally speaking, yes, I think Christy, because he will play closer to 30 minutes than Nurkic will.
And those in a points league, I would probably still go Christy as well.
Hey, this one's, you know, can I just ask, does Dennis Schroeder have a home? Is he in Detroit yet, or has he been waived again yet? Is he playing basketball in somewhere?
I think he's going to stay in Detroit.
He's still in Detroit, isn't he? So the question is, Dennis Schroeder, good backup point guard option? This is a stream option because he's going to be dropped in leagues as far as I'm concerned. Like, we're going to pick him up and play with him towards the end of the season, correct? That sounds dirty. Don't answer that question.
Or is there a chance? Yes, he could be the backup to Kay, but is there a chance that he starts ahead of Tim Hardaway Jr.? I pose that to you guys.
No, but does it hurt Malik Beasley, though, who's been on a heater this season?
Yeah, it could. It could.
Yeah, it could. It depends what version of Dennis Schroeder we get. Do we get Brooklyn version or do we get Golden State version? So, hypothetically, he could start. Tim Hardaway has not been playing well. They only have him out there for his floor spacing. Yep. Schroeder's not a great three-point shooter, but I'd argue he's probably no worse than Tim Hardaway. I don't know what their percentages are, but yeah, look, he could, but again, having him coming off the bench means that they do have a secondary playmaker there. They don't really have, they've got Ron Holland, Marcus Sasser, but with no Jaden Ivey, because he was doing a lot of that secondary ball handling. And they were staggering him and Cade, and they can't do that now, obviously. So, yeah, I think Schroeder has a role here. I don't know what it's going to be, but I think he'll probably be 25 minutes, roughly, at least.
Yeah, I can see that.
He feels like one of those guys who you can sort of just throw into an offense and he'll make it work. He's not an elite player, but he'll do his role. He'll do what he needs to do. So I think Detroit can just throw him straight in and he will do exactly what they need him to do on the court.
And it wouldn't surprise me if – oh, sorry, Matty, I was just going to say – Tim Hardaway was going to be frozen out. If he's just not putting up the shots or getting those shots to drop, he's a very one-dimensional player, as we all know. Bring on Dennis Schroeder. So it could be 25 to 30 minutes, a bit of a range there, but who knows what could happen there.
Now, looking over the last Pistons box score, where I thought it was interesting, it was a down game, so we can't read into it. We had a horrible Malik Beasley game. Like, let's just be fair. So put that in the bag. He wasn't firing away here. Only 2 points, played 25 minutes. So there's that 25-minute role you mentioned, Kingy. The guards who are also filling in roles in this, or the small forward point guard role here, we had Ron Holland at 19 minutes, Sasser's 11 minutes. These are the guys. Tim Hardaway played a team second high 34 minutes that game because he was going on a heater. He was up to 20 points. Mm. He was shooting really well for him. He was 500 from the field, six threes on a night where they just didn't have a lot of from the three-point line. We could probably bunch his minutes back down towards 30-ish. There's 4 minutes straight away. So I think you're on the right, but it's about a 25-minute path for him. The curious one for me was KJ Martin to the Utah Jazz. He's been a semi-silly season hero before. Can we expect, especially on a Utah Jazz fan, to experience that again this season?
Oh, I think there's quite a lot of guys that could be silly season heroes, and we've spoken about guys like Isaiah Collier, Keontae George, of course, Brian Sensabaugh, Filipkowski. The names go on and on and on. So he just added him to the list. But yeah, I was so surprised that Jazz didn't trade away any of those guys. John Collins, Colin Sexton, even Jordan Clarkson. Just
Jay Clarkson.
What are they doing? Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the Jazz guys were surprised that they weren't traded. I'm sure Colin Sexton had his bags packed, ready to go. So, yeah, look, KJ Martin, as D-Mac said there, he sort of, you just add him into that bucket of about six names and draw one out of a hat. But now that they've got John Collins, Lauri Markkanen sticking around, who knows? It might not be for a month. It might not be for 2 months. It might not be at all. Maybe the Jazz are under the illusion that they can push to a play-in. I don't know.
I've got some news for them. They don't, and they can't. It's the Western Conference, and they're 13 games off the pace. So good luck to them having dreams, and we do believe that people should have them. Hawks get Bogdan Bogdanović to the Clippers. So Bogdan Bogdanović moves to the West Coast of America. In return, they get Terrence Mann and Bones Highland. Probably some action around Terrence Mann and Bones Highland off the bench for the Atlanta Hawks here. Bogdan Bogdanović, I absolutely love this move for the Los Angeles Clippers. I think this is the role that Bogdan was born to play in the NBA, that six-man role. Guys, Kingy, what are you feeling for this Bogdan trade?
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think this is a really good upgrade for them at that six-man role. They've been running with sort of Amir Coffey. Terrence Mann was there. No one's really taken that role and just sort of grabbed it by the throat and made it their own. We know Bogdan is a good sixth man. He's done it for years. Yep. He hasn't been as good this year, so I do think a change of scenery is good for him as well. So, I like it from a real-life perspective. I think this really gives them a solid piece in that rotation rather than relying on or hoping that someone, one of Kevin Porter Jr., Terrence Mann, Amir Coffey, can catch fire. Bogdan should be able to fill that role quite well, I think.
I agree.
Saw him last season play that six-man role really well. Top 100 nine-cat guy for the Hawks. Didn't have the opportunity. Some thought he may start for the Hawks this season. Obviously, we love Dyson Daniels. So he's taken that. But Bogdan's been completely disappointing. I had high hopes for him. But this change of scenery, does he move ahead of Chris Dunn? I think he does. I really think he does. He plays the minutes behind Harden, Norm Powell. Yeah. I think he's a fantastic addition.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think this is, again, this was the role that he was born to play and surrounded by adults as well in the room, not to be disrespectful to the Atlanta Hawks, but this is a team that very much wants to win. They are an exceptional franchise. The Los Angeles Clippers, one would say, in this new arena, they're trying to create something. So not to blow smoke up the Clippers' ass here, but this is a role they specifically needed. This, as you said, is the upgrade right here. So we are looking to pick that up whenever and wherever we can. We love that. The next trade, Kyle Kuzma to the Bucks with Patrick Baldwin Jr. He's ended up somewhere else, so let's not worry about that. Jericho Sims, nothing there. Like we've touched on Chris Middleton. Let's leave that to the side. You son of a... My phone was going off then. Are you still watching this podcast, Nathan Hand? Because he's in a league and he just added off our saying this Bogdan Bogdanović.
Well played.
Well, he probably is watching then. That's our job, isn't it?
But I can tell him right now he's an idiot for dropping Cam Thomas because Cam Thomas is returning after the All-Star. Yep, he has done that. By the way, Cam Thomas has been upgraded to returning just after the All-Star break, and it's a two-week week in Yahoo. I can't reverse it live on the podcast. I'm sorry. Wrong dude to drop, Nate. Sorry. Let's get back to this one. In the Bucks, Kyle Kuzma here. Do we like this fit for him? This is a guy who's going to continue to be who he was in Washington, but now in Milwaukee?
I've just never been a Kyle Kuzma guy from a fantasy perspective. I didn't understand the trade from the Bucks perspective. I guess they're just trying something different. Let's throw something else out there because it just wasn't completely getting it done. I don't think they would have been absolutely contending. So maybe this is just a means to get off Middleton and just try something different. But from a fantasy perspective, I'm still not sold on Kyle Kuzma. I don't think I ever will be.
Be honest.
Sadly, I don't know if it's sad. I'm sort of in that same boat. It was an odd one for the Bucks. He doesn't seem to fit what they are. Like he's, but maybe that's a good thing. Maybe they can sort of turn him around a little bit. But I sort of get. I guess Middleton. Maybe this is just related to Middleton's health. And the fact that they can't play him in the role that they want him to play. They can't play him as a starter playing 30 minutes. He just physically can't do it anymore. So they needed to bring in, because if you think back to when the Bucks were successful, that was on the back of Middleton being a secondary offensive option behind Giannis. They now have Dame, of course. But outside of those two, they don't really have a scorer. And so Middleton can't fill that role, so I guess they just went, well, Kuzma, he likes to shoot, so let's bring him in. And like I said, maybe this kind of environment and this team and Doc Rivers as a coach, maybe they can rein him in a bit. So I like it for Kuzma in terms of real-life basketball because he'll be playing on a team that wants to win, a team with some direction. So it's good just for him as a basketball player, I think, to be here and to learn and to get better. From a fantasy perspective, I really don't see him as anything more than a points streamer. In standard leagues, like he's probably going to get you like 15 points a game, 6 or 7 rebounds. That's about it.
Agreed. Hey, the other big Lakers trade this week was, D-Mac, your thoughts. Was it too much for Mark Williams? Or is the price right? Dalton Kennett, Cam Reddish, and that 2031 unprotected first-round pick. The 2030 pick swap, that's a funny one because everyone just throws pick swaps in these days. But was this too much or was that just right for Mark Williams, who has been brilliant but oft injured like we complain Anthony Davis is?
I think it's right. They want to win. They want to win now. They've got Luka. He'll be there for another decade, but LeBron, he's 40. He's not getting any younger. So I think they needed that big boy. And yes, we've heard of the health concerns and whether or not he's got the longevity in the game. This is Mark Williams I speak of. He's only, I believe, 23 years old. So he's still a young guy. If he can get past the back issues, then the sky's the limit. The ceiling is really high. There was concerns around the health, but I think they're taking a bit of a leap of faith, but I really like it. And they are contending. They are a fantastic contender this season.
Kingy?
If I drop out, we've got a big storm going over us. So the lights just flickered. So just beware. It's not because I don't like you both. It's because the internet drops out. What do I think in terms of what they paid? It's a lot. I don't think that unprotected first round pick will really... Well, in theory, it won't matter because in 6 years, Luka Doncic will be 31 and arguably in his prime. And Mark Williams
arguably still on the Lakers roster, hopefully.
Still on the Lakers roster. Mark Williams will be, I don't know how old he is, 23 or something. So that unprotected first-round pick could be like a 22nd pick. So it may not matter. Cam Reddish, who cares? Dalton Kennett... Yeah, I mean, I'm not sold on Dalton Kennett as a long-term kind of asset. As we know, this draft class was very poor. So any sort of outlandish performance by any rookie this year has been hyped up, and he had those two games, I think, where he had 30 points or something. But other than that, he's done nothing. So I don't think it's too much to pay for a center who is we're really just scratching the surface, I think. We've seen how good he's been in the last month to 2 months. And I just – can you imagine how many dunks he's going to get playing with LeBron and Luka for 2 years? Like, he's going to shoot 89% from the field for the next 3 years. I really like this for the Lakers. And as much as I'm not a Lakers fan, I think that they've walked away from this trade deadline probably pretty pleased with themselves.
Absolutely. I was also going to mention he's going to rack up high percentage field goals. But you think of the Lakers' perimeter defense, apart from Dorian Finney-Smith, I think they're pretty loose. So that's going to give great opportunity for Mark Williams to get more blocks as well. We've always wanted to see more blocks. The block rate is a little bit low for someone his size and his stature. So I think there's an opportunity for him to actually increase his block rate.
I would agree with you. I also think under the tutelage of someone like LeBron James, who is going to be pushing him to be the best he can be for however much he can be, I think he's going to learn a lot. And I think we could see that creep up a little bit. And this could be an absolute fantasy stud. Again, the health is the thing, and we want that one. The Cavs trade to the Atlanta Hawks, again, getting frisky in this trade offseason. DeAndre Hunter now with the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Hawks are receiving gorgeous name. And I asked Skiddy, shout out to Jake Skidmore from the Insight Podcast Network, does our AFL show and NBA with me. He's a massive Cavs fan. He was really bummed. He was like, yeah, you know, fine about Karras, but I'm really bummed about DA. I think a lot of fans loved him. I agree. I think he was a vital part of that second unit. Kingy, DeAndre Hunter, obviously a bit of a fantasy loser because he's going to have – he will just be doing less now in Cleveland than he had to do in Atlanta this year. And he was on a heater.
Yeah, he's had a good year. I do think he takes a hit because – he's just, he's on a better team now. So there's less for him to do. But I still think he plays 30 minutes a night. Like, I still think he's going to be someone we can potentially roster. I don't know, maybe you could look at him and Kyle Kuzma as relatively comparable. Both are pretty empty points and threes, some rebounds. I'd probably rather Hunter, I think, over Kuzma if I had to pick one or the other, but it's a hit. But I mean, I'm not a Cleveland fan, so I don't get the Niang fascination. The minivan. Yeah, that's right. Well, he gives hope to everyone, doesn't he? When you watch him run up and down the court, you go, hey, yeah, you don't have to be this elite athlete to play in the NBA because he is not an elite athlete. So, takes a hit, but I still like Hunter here. I think he gives them probably an upgrade, or even though they did give away two players to get one back.
Yeah, I would say I think it's a massive upgrade, and I do think it really works here. I think it takes a bit of a hit. Karis LeVert, though, does he see a bit of a rise, DMAC, over now in the Atlanta Hawks this season?
Not sure about a rise. I think the value is going to be pretty steady for him. Still got a lot of depth on that and wing depth as well on that Hawks team as well. So I think it'll play a pretty similar role to what he was doing with the Cavs, but I'd still keep an eye out for him because we know that perhaps if the Hawks season doesn't go to plan, maybe they start thinking about resting Trey down the stretch. So just keep an eye out because we know when Karis LeVert is the guy, and we've seen it, Donovan Mitchell sat. Or usually Donovan Mitchell, then he just is on a heater. It could be a one-week heater, and that's enough to get you a championship closer to the end of the season.
Absolutely agreed. And what could get you a championship towards the end of your season is some of our brand-new Insight apparel, specially designed for all you fantasy basketball fans and enthusiasts on out there. And the big thing is this right now. We are giving 25% of all profits from these shirts during the month of February to our good friend Dan Bresbridge's school for his kids over in LA that burnt down in the recent fires. It's the Palisades Elementary School. They, like many, lost it all. And it's a little bit that we can do back. So 25% of all the shirts that we sell will be going out there to the Palisades Elementary School. I have put in all of our chats out there, the link to the store. You can click on that onto the Insight YouTube. If you want that, we can put it back into you as well. Make sure you can just search down in the YouTube video on Insight for that one, or hit us up in all of our retweets we've been doing for that lately. Back onto our next trade. We've got to make our move on here. There's just so much action to get through. The Jazz, Josh Richardson and KJ Martin in this one here, with the Warriors acquiring Jimmy Butler. This was the other big one. The big winner here, I think, is Andrew Wiggins, possibly. I think Kyle Anderson is a winner. I think Davion Mitchell is a winner. I think Terry Rozier is a loser. There's some really interesting moves that have happened around this one. Kingy, your first thoughts, apart from, thank God, finally, we can shut the fuck up.
Yeah, that's the best part. We don't have to listen to Jimmy Butler anymore. I like it for the Heat, because Jimmy Butler wasn't playing anyway, and he was... Whoa, there goes a flash of light. He was clearly just a negative influence on the team and the culture and all of that sort of stuff. So he's gone. So that in itself is a win for the Heat. But the pieces that they've picked up, they get a protected first round pick via the Warriors. I don't know what the protection is. Do you guys know what the protection is on that pick? What it is, because I guess shifting over to the Warriors very quickly, I actually don't think this moves the needle that much for the Warriors. Like, they were pretty bad today. They lost to the Lakers. I mean, they did sort of make it close, but Steph Curry is not Steph Curry anymore. I think we can agree he's not consistently Steph Curry. He still has those games, but he's not as consistent as he was even 2 years ago. Draymond Green is not great. He's fine. He's a role player, but he's not the player he was 5 years ago when they were winning championships. Agreed. So Jimmy Butler, there's a lot of pressure on Jimmy Butler to come in here, because they want to win, obviously, because they have a window of about 2 to 3 years with Steph, and you wouldn't pay Jimmy Butler $120 million if you didn't want to win now. So I think there's a lot of pressure on Jimmy Butler here, and I just don't know if he's up to it. Or his knees are up to it. But I think the Heat, they get decent pieces. They get Wiggins, who is younger, healthier. Davion Mitchell, who, he's not great, but, I mean, he's a little bit unproven, I suppose.
Yeah.
Look, the return, if you just look at it on paper, is not great, but I think you have to look at all of the other sort of positives from this, including the fact that Jimmy Butler is just no longer there to distract the team.
Agreed. D-Mac, I'll ask you about the next one. We pretty much spoke about Bruce Brown and Kelly Olynyk earlier. Moving the dial in the Toronto Raptors and the three-teamer there was Brandon Ingram, B.I. landing with the Raptors. Thoughts on this one? How does Kayla feel about it? You pod with her a little bit. Shout out to her and Bitches Be Ballin' podcast as well. Yep. B.I. here, there's a lot of offensive mouths to feed now in Toronto.
A lot of offensive mouths, a lot of wings. They had a plethora of wings a few seasons ago and traded a whole heap of them. They're in that same situation again. And I did have a show with Kayla this morning, my time, and she was indifferent to it. She's not too sure. So I don't know how it's going to play out. I think it does take a hit to IQ, RJ Barrett, BI. At least he's back on the court. So he was off the court, supposedly injured for quite some time. I think they were just looking out for each other's interests, his body, the Pelicans' asset as well. But just a sneaky one, and maybe this is more for 14 or 16 teamers, but Jamal Sheed, we spoke about Davion Mitchell moving to the Heat. Jamal Sheed is IQ's backup, and is IQ going to play a whole heap of the season? We all loved IQ coming into this season. We had him top 50, and it's just been injury after injury. But stop Jamal Sheed, right? I know, it hurts. But Jamal Sheed, just keep an eye out for him.
Yeah, don't even get me started about how much my heart is broken, because I think quickly was the – remember, Kingy, at the beginning of the season when you asked, hey, guys, which players did you like, how many of your leagues did you grab a certain player? I think my count is like 9 or 10 out of 12 I had Emmanuel quickly. I invested a lot of quickly stock. I was just like, you know what? I'm doing it, because I won a championship with him a couple of years ago when he was in New York on that heater to end the season. I was like, you know what? Love it. And then he was great last year to finish the year off in Toronto. I do think it did hurt a little bit, but it's going to be very curious, but it's going to be also good seeing him play these games, because I think Toronto plays it. I think we've seen them do the shenanigans during the year. They've been injured. To be fair, let's look at their record. They're 16 and 35. The Bulls are going to stick around. Atlanta wants to stick around. Brooklyn's not pushing for anything. They're not pushing for anything. They'll just continue to be middling and play these games. And I think we'll start to see a bit of a dispensation in where that bottom of the 10th is and the 11th and 12th places in the Eastern Conference. So they do play. Because you know what? People in Toronto love their Raptors and they love to go to their games. And they will still roll them out like they did last year in parts with RJ Barrett. Then they set him and arrested him and their youth. And I think the Brandon Ingram experience is something we need to see. And I think we see him play through the rest of the year. We're coming up to the end here. The sneaky one here, Jake LaRavia with the Kings. I think that is a very interesting pickup for their bench and really good wing depth. Let's call it wing depth for them. I love that pickup for the Sacramento Kings. I think we can keep our eyes on Jake LaRavia here for some streaming option. The Grizzlies, the Marvin Bagley thing, Johnny Davis, blah, blah. We've discussed this one. The Marcus Smart one, Colby Jones, he's been passed around this trade deadline a little bit as well. And Alex Len ends up in the Wizards. Let's touch on Len. Or again, let's not do that. But Alex Len, could this be someone we're drafting into picking up for some back-to-back sets and off the waiver wire? Can you?
No.
No?
No.
Who are the Wizards going to – are they just going to let it be the Alex Sarr experience down in over in Washington? What are we expecting big man-wise there?
I think it'll be Vukcevic. I think Tristan Vukcevic will get a look. I think Rashawn Holmes will get a look. So, I'd love to see Vukcevic just take that backup role and play 18, 20 minutes behind Alex Sarr. I don't know if they'll do it. It's Washington. That's who I would like to see.
Your thoughts there, D-Mac?
Oh, I completely agree with Kingy. It's going to be the Alex Sarr show. So I hope you've held, and he has been injured. He was close to playing the other night, late withdrawal. So I'd expect him to play. I think he's out tomorrow, but I expect him to play the game after that. It's going to be the Alex Sarr show. And I'm excited as a newly appointed Perth Wildcats fan. He's Perth Wildcats alumni. I'm actually an Adelaide boy. So 36 fans, shout out to you guys, Montrezl Harrell. Alex Sarr, I'm excited by him.
Yeah, I think there's some rookie rundown there. And one of the other winners that people have been having their eye on is Kyshawn George in the Washington Wizards, has been one of the most added players across the leagues today as well, getting some run in Washington. Guys, that pretty much wraps us up. Any final thoughts or takes, Kingy, from you on the NBA trade deadline and moves to make in leagues?
No, I think it was a good deadline, despite, as I said at the top of the show, the fact that it was a little bit quiet today. We didn't get the big moves that we were hoping for, but all in all, I think we had arguably the biggest trade, the biggest trade I've ever seen, the Anthony Davis, Luka Doncic trade. It was good. I feel like there probably aren't as many winners and losers this year. I feel like there were a few, like players were moving around, but there isn't a list of like five guys that you have to go and get. They're absolute priority, like we thought we might see. And that's really because Brooklyn didn't make any moves, the Jazz didn't make any moves, Portland didn't make any moves. That's where we would have had the big winners. But 100%. None of them, they're all apparently very happy with the teams that they have. And Vooch didn't get traded. That was another big one that we probably thought. Jalen Smith, I think every second person would stash Jalen Smith. And now I guess we just release him back into the wild.
Bye-bye, Sticks.
I did release Sticks. Oh. You did, so to speak. Yeah, I did release.
You need Sticks. A hug? Do you need a hug, D-Mac?
I did it simultaneously with Dayron Sharp as well. We go. Nothing going on.
Thank God you got date night with the missus tomorrow night, mate.
Thank God. I'll release some other Sticks.
Sticks plural?
It's after 10 p.m. here where I
am. It's after 10 p.m. He's drinking Coca-Cola and he's getting frisky. Jeez, look out, D-Mac. This is in store for tomorrow night. Happy Valentine's Day, love. I bought a present from the store. Its name is Sticks. Thank you very much. Boys, thank you very much for joining us on the show. This has been a crossover thanks to FBI Basketball International, Inside NBA. You can follow everyone. D-Mac, tell us what you got coming up and where everyone can follow you.
Yeah, still working with Kayla. Follow us on YouTube and everywhere you get your fantasy content. But yeah, Between Two Hoops, we'll keep doing that on a weekly basis and not long until All-Star weekend as well. So we'll be having more shows around that period.
100%. You, Kingy, as always, 84 podcasts a day. Can I do your thing for you? It's Adam King. He works everywhere. He knows everyone. You can follow him at X and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Do not confuse him for AdamKing92, as many of you can do. Daily shows, mate, they are pumping for you.
Yeah, it's basically just part of my routine now. I just get up and I stumble up to the computer, check the overnight injury reports and roll out a show. So, yeah, in a bit of a routine, which is nice, but that'll continue rest of season. We'll keep doing these. I've got Trade Talk, which happens every Saturday morning our time, as well as just random shows when I'm feeling like doing another show. And then I've got my articles, so there'll be a waiver wire article tomorrow. I think it'll come out tomorrow on RotoWire, and it's focused on the trade deadline. So it mentions all of the players that we talked about tonight.
Make sure you do follow Adam King again on all of his things so he can send you that link and get everything that you needed to. You can follow me at NBAGWiz and obviously at Insight F Sports. On X, guys, again, thank you so much for joining us. Be well, take care of yourselves. Hope you made those ads that you needed to. If you haven't, get on there like Nate did. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at FBI Basketball.